All right, I got my little list. I did want to do the Goat Americans. Did you think of anything for that?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Well, do you want to take 5 or 10 minutes and look some up, or do you have some off the dome? I got like five or six.
I probably can do something off the dome.
Fuck, we're talking about that. Well, let's fucking get started. Hey, it's Tuesday. Yeah, let's go. Blah, blah, blah. Me and Joe, another summer grab bag. I think we just do this for the summer. Just keep doing grab bags.
Just grab bags? Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. Okay, yeah. So the thing I want to talk about first,
okay,
just because I think it has a happy ending, is Nike versus the Maggots.
Oh, God.
For those of you who don't know, Nike was going to release American flag themed shoes, but the American flag it had was the original 13 colonies. And Colin Kaepernick, rightfully so, was like, yeah, y'all still had slaves then? Could you not? So instead of doing the obvious thing and just using the 50 state flag, they were like, Nike was like, oh, I guess we can't. So I want to talk about one, the obviously ridiculous reaction in the boycott Nike movement, but yeah. That's the thing that I was troubled by two questions. One, why didn't you just put on the regular ass American flag when Colin Kaepernick pointed that out? And two, do I gotta buy Nikes now? Because I don't like Nikes. I've just never been into them. I'm an Adidas guy, and Chucks. So no, I'm like, man, do I gotta buy Nikes just to piss off Ted Cruz? But I don't know, man. What do you think? You have any takes on that story?
Look. For me, a story like this is, one, why do we know about it? Like, who leaked this?
Right.
Who leaked this, and who does it benefit knowing it? Because this is just round two of the Kaepernick thing, which turned out to be a huge boon for Nike. Like, it was huge advertising. Like, that was such a success. Like, their sales immediately went up from the conservative uproar the last time. I'm not playing this game with Nike anymore. No.
Well, I was thinking that, and today, I don't know, I was looking at the news. I won't say I've been tracking the story. It just keeps coming across my mind. But Nike's shares went up $3 billion this week.
Absolutely.
So I'm like, all right, I don't need to buy some Nikes. I'm good.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, you don't have to. Like, no, it benefits them. They've been in the zeitgeist for fucking 2 more weeks now. And who doesn't love it when conservatives make themselves look like idiots on purpose? Well, like,
maybe it'll work. I mean, who's even ever heard of Starbucks or Hamilton anymore?
Yeah, you know, it's like, because I was
at least hours since I've seen a reference to either one of those things. Fucking Trump won.
Yeah, I was actually at a barbecue yesterday or on the 4th, and someone brought up this story. And they were mad that the shoes got pulled. I'm like, why? Like, why are you mad about this? Were you going to buy them? Did you care about them before they got canceled? Or did you care about them before Colin Kaepernick's name got attached to it?
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. People are still pissed at Colin Kaepernick. And as soon as his name gets mentioned at something, because, like, this is a power thing. Colin Kaepernick's voice was able to get these shoes canceled. And that pisses off this type of people more than anything, that Colin Kaepernick still has any kind of power or sway over anything.
When I saw that, I was wondering, like, what's that power play? Like, all right, I'm going to pull my shit. I'm like, Colin Kaepernick ain't got that kind of fucking
power. No.
What kind of flex was this? Was it more like, guys, this is like kind of a bad idea, and then they're just pushing it onto Colin Kaepernick? I mean, there's a part of me that's like, maybe this whole thing was staged. Maybe those shoes never existed.
It could be.
Staged social media event, man. Where's Jane Hoy? He knows what I'm talking about.
It could be. Like, it's tough to believe a lot of shit that goes down these days.
Yeah. This one at least felt fairly low stakes. And here's the thing, man. those shoes were garbage. They were just basic Nikes with a little patch on the back of them. They weren't good looking at all. Chuck's put out some U.S. themed cons this year. They were on clearance too, for the 4th, and they were kind of dope looking. Like, they were subtle. They weren't just like a flag on it, you know. Some of them were more, they were less subtle for those people who are less subtle. And I fucking didn't give a shit at all. I don't think I would have put two and two together if I'd seen the colonial flag on shoes been like slavery. But it's true. But it's true.
Well, so you buy Converse? You buy Converse?
Oh man, don't take Converse away from me. What are you gonna
do? You know they're owned by Nike, so you are supporting Nike.
Oh no shit?
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, they're owned by Nike.
Fucking Nike.
So you are supporting them.
Man, I bought everybody fucking Chucks for my wedding.
I know.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that. You know, because here's the thing with the shoes that I bought for the wedding. So for those of you who don't know, I fucking bought matching mint Converse for all my groomsmen, right? But those shoes were fairly old. Right, so I had to like go to a bunch of different websites to try to find people's sizes. It was a lot of work. eBay paid for half of them, right? And I got a couple from this random store, this random store. And now that I'm thinking about it, I got like two pairs from the Nike store, and I didn't even think about it. I was like, "That's random."
Yeah.
Like, and now I get it. I didn't even put that together. Well, there you go. I guess I have been. I mean, I'll say this: Adidas is my number one shoe, like by a long shot. Always has been, and. This isn't part of it. I'm not going to lie. This wasn't part of it, but it's become part of it after the fact. Nike is known for being terrible about sweatshop labor, right? But Adidas recently had that baggage for a while. Now, I picked Adidas because I just like them better. I've been liking Adidas probably since fucking Korn. That's probably why.
No.
So I was like 15, and like I dream about sex all day too. So I was like, "Oh, this is the brand for me, right?" It was the young Jorge incel brand. Nike, I just associated with like jocks, and I just wasn't into it.
Yeah. You know?
And I just have been Adidas guy ever since high school. And later on, I found out like about sweatshop labor just being a thing, and then eventually I found out that I'm complicit because a lot of the shit I love. Use the sweatshop labor. But Adidas recently, I want to say 2016, they passed for being like sweatshop labor free. Like they were actually like a gold star. Like there you go. You can divest from it. It can. Shout outs to Adidas for that. Nike, obviously not. That's why I didn't want to buy any Nikes because they're pretty against my world, my global politics, even though they are really on the side, not really, but sort of on the side of my national politics. So there's a conflict there. But turns out I've been doing it all along.
Yeah.
Capitalism makes us all complicit in fucking everything.
Yeah. Nike's only on the side of dollars for Nike.
Right.
And so much of Nike is big in black culture. They, like, you know, like, Jordans are a staple of the black community. Like, I mean, there's a lot of white and other races sneakerheads. Like, Hasan Minhaj is a huge sneakerhead. Like, it's got its own culture.
Yeah.
But Nike is such a fucking big part of the black community. It's like fucking... Yeah, you know where your money's coming from, dude.
Man, but that's some serious buying power.
Yeah. Black people spend money. Like, that's the thing. Black people spend money. It's why, like, legit, it's why there's a black Ariel. Like, it's not Disney trying to make a political statement. Disney saw how much money they can make with black leads, and they're like, oh, let's keep making this money.
Yeah, dude, that's a good point. That's another one where I'm like, man, do I gotta go see The Little Mermaid now to be against the maggots? Because I don't want to. I don't want to see The Little Mermaid.
Don't. I'm against that movie for other reasons.
Well, they gotta fix the sexist part of it, right?
Well, no, mostly I'm anti-Disney and these remakes because Disney effectively killed the public domain. And no company has made more money getting shit from the public domain than Disney. And now they're just recycling their own recycled shit.
Hey, man, that's culturally efficient, right? No waste.
Yeah. Yeah, but they're also fucking over the people who made the 80s movie, because with these remakes, the animators get none of the cuts of the money. Like, it's another way to cut more people out of the cut of the pie. Like, it's just, it's gross in so many ways that I'm sick of these remakes.
Well, all right, but what happens, though, dude? Then do we, because our options are this, go see The Little Mermaid, knowing that we're making an exception in this case to piss off the maggots and support this girl from... Well, she's from Blackish, right? That's the girl from Blackish?
I don't fucking know.
I don't fucking know what 19-year-old actress is.
Yeah, I'm old.
Yeah, bro. I don't know. So, B, do we sit it out, and then the maggots are, you know, open and help the maggots win if they win, or C, assume that Disney can't be touched and they don't need our two seats?
They don't. This movie will be fine. Yeah.
How many people are going to go just to prove a point, right?
Yeah, this movie will be fine. They're going to come out with a banger trailer before whatever Marvel movie's out, and people will be like, oh my God, it looks so good, I got to go see it. Because, I mean, there's a cult of Disney. People are just going to spend money.
It's going to make a sneaky $400 million. Nobody knows.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, there was that man, and I got to send you the thread. I do love all the people who... with a straight face can argue that this made-up mermaid from medieval European folklore has to be a white redhead.
Yeah.
It's a made-up character. I saw some people even saying the real Ariel was a redhead. Like, that's a cartoon, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. And to the point about that, the sort of rage against, like, a race bending, if you want to call it that, like, it's so immature and it's so childish, and it makes me think of like white kids as being like these only children who can't share. Like, or maybe like an older sibling with a younger sibling, like they're all fucking hopping mad about The Little Mermaid. I'm like, for real? You haven't played with that toy for like a decade. You don't get to get it now. Let your little brother have a turn. You can play when he's done. You just don't want him to have it. That's all it is. You don't give a fuck about The Little Mermaid. You don't give a fuck about Heimdall from fucking Thor? Like, you don't care. You don't care. You've gotten so many turns. Like, let someone else have a turn. You can have them back when everyone else has gotten a turn. You can have them back. Yeah. When we get a brown, when we get Latino Batman and Asian Superman and et cetera, then we'll have them back. You're going to get your fucking turn, man. Just wait, you fucking childish pricks.
they don't want to share.
No, yeah. It is one thing if it were like, I almost get with Superman, like, we're still playing with it. Like, you should stop, though, because we're all tired of it, but fine. But, like, the shit you've never even touched before. Like again, you haven't played with that toy for fucking decades. Like,
yeah.
You're passing it on. We're passing it on. Too late. You should have given a shit about it. Like, it's quit being such a fucking spoiled brat.
But, I mean... to go back to Disney, that's how predictable we are now. Disney knew.
Yeah.
This was going to happen.
All the free marketing they got yesterday.
Oh, my God. Like, we're talking about the fucking Little Mermaid movie. Like,
yeah, what's the more impressive one, the Nike or the Disney?
Disney.
Thanks, Disney. I'm going to... Why? What's your case? Why Disney?
It's more impressive because Disney did the one that would piss off the most people.
Okay.
That's why. Like, right. Theirs, that pissed off so many people.
Yeah.
Like, so many. Like, the Nike thing, it's, like, selective. Like, the few people who really know about it are pissed about it, but, like, it's not everywhere.
No.
Everyone knows about this Little Mermaid thing. Like, just the scale and the fucking, hey, yeah, here we go, black Ariel. Like, the little sneak. Like, they didn't do it as a full, like, here's the whole cast, you know, thing.
Yeah, they announced it, like, Variety.
They announced it on a holiday.
Yeah. God bless America.
Oh, yeah. Very calculated.
That's impressive flex. I'm not doubting it. I don't really have that great a counter-argument other than this. I told you that Nike shares went up to about $3 billion.
Yeah.
They did that while selling a thing.
Jesus, man.
They just fucking shared a picture. They viraled themselves to $3 billion.
Oh, what's the next controversy they can make? Because they can't go to this well again.
Yeah, they'll find a way. No, those maggots, man, they're fucking, they're Pavlovian with it, man. You can You can tell they're all. Remember, that's a whole community that's used to dog whistling. Just give them a whistle they don't like. They'll react.
It's so this culture, this particular moment.
To be fair, I don't know they'll react to the tune of $3 billion in a week. But still.
But like this conservative reaction. So it reminds me a lot of that. You saw the. Have you seen the Bluebell thing? Because that was going to be something I was going to bring up.
Yeah. Let's talk about that fucking.
But I think it's tied together. The conservative reaction to this. And the chick with, like, everyone's doing shit for clicks. So, like, even these conservatives, I doubt they really give that much of a shit. But they have to do shit online at plus 12. So we get this. We get Ted Cruz. We get people burning Nikes, you know? It's part of that same problem. And then we get the girl licking the goddamn ice cream, which is just the dumbest goddamn thing. I don't think she should go to jail for 2 years.
Or at all.
2 to 20 years.
Just make her buy the ice cream.
Just
make her buy the fucking ice cream.
Yeah, like, and Bluebell suing her, like, the I'm annoyed that we've gotten to a point where people are doing this, but I'm more upset about our reaction to this. We're going after this girl harder than we've gone after anyone with the kids in camps. Anybody at Bluebell who killed 3 people a couple of years ago, like, we're going after this chick because she licked the ice cream. Like, I get it. It's dumb. That's some stupid shit. But I'm pretty sure if you saw that ice cream, you could figure out, like, oh, this has been tampered with.
Yeah, that's why there's people on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, it's just licking. It's just gross. No one's in danger.
Yeah.
Unless that girl's got some crazy illness that can be They can be transmitted through fucking ice cream. It's not a threat in any way.
Yeah.
It is at worst destruction of property. At worst. It's ridiculous. And I'll tell you what, if I loved Bluebell. And if they're going to keep on with this, if they're not going to drop this, I'm done with Bluebell. Like, that's fucking ridiculous. And it's, I think, obviously racist. That kid had, if that was a white boy, they laughed this off.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. With a black girl. Fuck that.
Doing it for clicks.
Black and a woman, how dare you?
Mm-hmm. It's like some of the reactions, like people I follow on Twitter, just like, this is the worst possible thing I've ever seen done. I was like, I saw a fucking 14-year-old get shot by a cop in 2 seconds. Like, like, what the fuck? We're going after this chick with everything.
It's ridiculous. I'm her side. Bluebell chick, I'm on your side. I'm gonna go start licking ice cream. Fuck them.
No, don't do that. Nah, it's still horribly wrong.
I guess. I won't do it because it's not worth 2 years in jail, but fuck it. I'm with her, though. Fuck me, Bell. Not a honey dip to hunt on testes, more blue than a grip for the blue man group. Caught that on the Vegas strip. Tell him a good game, juju pimping, can him a nigga die magic. Boss, pip, sip, slick, all next, pip, pip, slick, monk, test. It's a camel toe, and that's for sure. My brain is on one track, like Mary Mary, thoughts for crack, or like a roster just for smack. None of that, but the female genitalia, where it's at. I'm a man, an ID man, a woman for that act. Personal preference, plus I use the law of nature as a reference. No, I don't ever recall seeing a man turn up pregnant, but that just me. Feminine female fantasy product freely in my cockpit. Every 30-some seconds, I can't stop it. All day I dream of box. All day I dream of box. Let's do Goat Americans. Goat Americans, all right. So we were going to do this for July 4th, but it just didn't work out with the timing, so we're doing it now. Last year, what we did last year? Worst presidents? Power rankings. So this year we're doing Goat Americans power rankings.
That's right.
All right. So I don't know how you want to do this. I know you didn't get your list together until just recently.
I had 3 in my head already. Like, just they're always the 3 in my head. So I was kind of ready. I just hadn't gotten to do as much research to say why these people are so awesome.
All right. So let's get to what do we want to do? Pick a top 3 and then an honorable mention.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. All right. So who you got first?
Ida B. Wells.
Ida B. Wells. Tell us about Ida B. Wells. Why'd you pick her?
Ida B. Wells was born a slave in Holly Springs, Mississippi, and you will find a recurring theme in my top 3 Americans. I think it's hard to pick someone who wasn't a slave before the Civil War and after.
It's really tough, but just what
they had to go through. So she was freed by the Emancipation Proclamation. At 16, both their parents were dead. They all died to yellow fever. But Ida B. Wells was very famous for fighting against lynching in the United States. And this is like talking about 1890s.
Right.
Yeah, she wrote deeply. Like, she lived in Chicago. She wrote about just the horrors of lynching. And this is at a time when there were a lot, we're still not sure how many people were lynched, but every time we get an estimate, it's always thousands more.
Yeah.
And she was one of the first really big vocal voices talking about this in America. And that she was a black woman born into slavery, taught herself how to read and write, and that she was able to overcome that and become what she was. Yeah, Ida B. Wells is definitely in my top three.
All right, so sticking with the theme, I've heard lots of fucking great choice, and you fucking nailed it with that lynching, the fact that when any estimate you get in your head, you should just double it, right?
Yeah.
Because these are the ones we know about. I feel that way about the Cage Kids. There's always like, 12th person has died. I'm like, 12th that we know about, right?
Yeah.
Because they'll hide it as long as they can. So I'm going similar. I hate to do this because, like, at least in my list, I was trying to, like, get people from different societal positions, try to, to some extent, capture American diversity if I could. So I have a bunch, and I'll rattle off some also-rans later, because I kind of had a good feeling about what the list is going to be. But, all right, so from the same era, I have Harriet Tubman. Fucking Harriet Tubman. So Ida B. Wells, correct me if I'm wrong, was emancipated, right?
Yeah, she was emancipated.
Harriet Tubman escaped. And for me, like, part of it, when I was thinking, like, so what is American? What do we value? Obviously, the first thing is first is fighting for freedom. It's a part of the central central plank of our national mythology, right? Our platform, right, is fighting for freedom. And we can sit here all day pointing out, you know, how often we fall short of that. But I do think that that's sort of central to the way we imagine Americans, right, is fighting for freedom. So, while Ida B. Wells, to me, is fighting for justice, acknowledgement, right? I picked Tubman over her because she's fighting for freedom. And I hate to pit them against each other, but they're so similar. I did not put Ida B. Wells on my list specifically because I already had Harriet Tubman. So Harriet Tubman escapes from slavery, which is the most badass thing any American can do in terms of, like, it's like the ultimate American Ninja Warrior. Like, it's just the most, or one of those fucking shows about surviving in the wilderness. Called like Naked and Afraid. Like, that's fucking the real shit right there. You gotta get, especially if you escape from, like, I don't remember where she escaped. I want to say Maryland, so at least she didn't have to go that far, let's be fair, right? Neither did Douglas. Didn't have to go that far. But so what does she do? She goes back into slave country 13 times and saves 70 people. And then after emancipation happens, what does she do? Next thing up, huge women's suffrage movement person.
Yep.
But on top of that, I do want to talk about one specific thing that was just so cool. Like I want to say, I don't know why we haven't had a movie about this yet. I do know, because we're not comfortable talking about slavery yet. And we're certainly not comfortable doing a movie about slavery that where it's kind of like, I don't know, fun and cool. Because when we get there, this story, the raid on the Combahee Ferry. Okay, so it's 1863, South Carolina. There's a river. It's called the Combahee. I don't know how to pronounce it. C-O-M-B-A-H-E-E. And it's just three ships. They're just sort of, it's like on the border. They're just patrolling the border, right? Harriet Tubman, who was a spy for the Union. She's a spy, too. On top of all that, she's a fucking spy. It's so cool. She's a spy in the Confederacy. So she's pretending to be a slave to get info and pass along to other slaves, like, hey, man, when the boats come, I know you're going to see them full of white folk, but trust me, I'm there too. Run to the shore. We're going to scoop y'all, and y'all are going to join the army. So all this fucking shit happens, skirmishes. It's a border skirmish, right? There's three small patrol ships from the Union, a bunch of Confederate raid groups, right? They get the three ships, I forget what they're called. They split up at some point. They drop Harriet Tubman off on the coast. And she just goes and gives the signal and rounds up 700-something slaves, puts them all on the ship, and, like, I don't remember the number, but a substantial portion of them, the menfolk, join the army. at a time where, like, they were still, like, the Confederacy was winning and the Union needed bodies. So, you, like, I'm not going to go so far as to say that Harriet Tubman won the Civil War, but I don't know that she didn't, so I'm going to go ahead and assume that she did.
Yeah, I'm going to give her all credit.
Yeah, right. Full
I'm
credit.
Good with that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know there's always somebody on the group project that did all the work. I'm going to go ahead and assume fucking Harriet Tubman.
Let's do it. I'm with you, and we should put on our money.
Yeah, fuck yeah. She'd be on every fucking money. All the money.
All the money.
All the money.
Yeah.
I really want her to be on the one, not the 20.
Yeah, like...
Be on the one.
Yeah.
Because I want to... I just want to have... To, I want everybody to have to look at her all the time.
Yeah. Who else you got?
Well, I want to add on Harriet.
Okay.
She's, like, one of the interesting things about her, she suffered a brain trauma when she was a kid.
Yeah.
Like, a severe brain trauma, so she would have seizures often.
Yeah.
Like, she did all of that with that. Like...
See, here's the thing. Why
even,
I think
like, she's even more badass. Like...
Yeah, no, no. And that's why I think also, like, a movie by her would be about her, specifically about the Comanche Raid, would be phenomenal because she didn't just have seizures. She also had hypersomnia, which means she was always sleepy or would sleep in way too long, right? It's not like narcolepsy where she falls asleep suddenly, right? It's yeah. The opposite of insomnia. Always sleepy and sleeps too long. So I want her to just be like, ooh, yeah, just forget it. It's been a long day. Just when that signal comes, drop your sickles and run. You know, just her kind yeah. of always sleepy eyed. Like, I just think that would be just fun. I just like, I want Harriet Tubman to be like what Django should have been, right? This fun movie where we're now ready yeah. to like play in history. I think Django possibly part of it is Tarantino just being Tarantino and like, dude, we get it. You have black friends. Like,
you just. He doesn't understand.
Back.
Yeah.
Dial it back, man. Dial yeah. it back. He's Corey's beta. He's yeah. fucking like, dial it back, buddy. Dial it back. You're already invited, man. Just relax, you know? Yeah. And, but also, that can't be the first movie, real movie about slavery in the United States, man. That was disappointing, right? That can't be the first one. And it was, which is like, you got to do a serious one first, right? So when we're ready to have a fun movie about slavery, which is a ridiculous thing to say, but we're going to get there. We're yeah. going to. Some black director is going to take it seriously, but tell a rousing story, right? Slavery movies are always, I think inescapably so, for valid reasons, heavy, right?
No.
Dire. But I think an escape slave narrative has the opportunity to tell a story that's like glorious and uplifting. Right? Because escape. I think, I don't know. And I want it to be Harriet Tubman because I fucking love Harriet Tubman.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to stay in that. You mentioned him already, but it's got to be Frederick Douglass. Like, he's got to be a top three American.
Right. This man. I love
teaching. Yeah, it's like, I mean, he might be number one. Like, just what he was able to accomplish in his life. Like, the stature he had. Pre-Civil War, during the Civil War, like, is in, like, yeah, Frederick Douglass, like, the Root Pope published his speech he gave on the 5th of July. They published it this week, and if you get a chance, anybody, go read it. So it's...
Oh, yeah, what does the 4th of July mean to me?
Mean to, yeah, exactly, like, you gotta, it's a must read, but yeah.
No, it's my students must read it, it's on my syllabus.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Yeah, Frederick Douglass. Yeah, like Frederick Douglass got to be up there.
Frederick Douglass for renown and celebrity, for sure. And I also love that Frederick Douglass was also a suffragette. Like, he was fighting mm-hmm. for his rights, too. So fighting for freedom, I think, for me, yeah. was it not just justice, but freedom. Liberation, right? That's the American right there. So Douglass is on my list, too. Something I've always wondered about Douglass, though, because he's not known for, like, he doesn't have the sheer heroism. Harriet, mm-hmm. right, going back into the belly
yeah.
and pulling out, you know, freeing people. I mean, he fought for liberation, but Harriet Tubman was a liberator. Like,
yeah.
she went, got them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, and Frederick Douglass was ultimately in the oral tradition. He fought with his voice, which is amazing, and particularly amazing because it combated all these awful stereotypes about, you know, black intelligence and mm-hmm. about, and just stuff like that, right? So having him be visible, like this face, he's almost like MLK.
Yeah.
He's almost like, I'm okay in that sense. And to the, but sometimes I wonder, like, there were probably other actors that he's overshadowing because he's become the face of it. And sometimes I wonder, like, for example, someone like Mariah Stewart, who's a very similar story, was the first African-American ever to give a speech in front of a mixed mm-hmm. white-black audience, right? But that was a woman. So, I mean, we have this sort of favoritism for male figures. So
yeah.
I just wonder to what extent that contributes to Frederick Douglass. But I'm uncomfortable saying that, if I'm being honest, because he's a fucking goat. He's great. It's not his fault.
Yeah.
Right. And to his credit, he used that platform to argue for the people we were overlooking, the women. Right. But that makes me want to tip it more towards the Idas and the Harriets. But I don't know. I don't want to take away from Frederick Douglass.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got to think about somebody like William Garrison. You know William Lloyd Garrison?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's on my list too because he was the guy who was the white face of abolition. Right. And then I don't think it was Harriet Tubman, but he talked to somebody and somebody said him straight. He's like, you can't argue for black freedom and not female freedom. And he's like, all right, we're in. We're a double, super radical, we're a double issue union, coalition now. I forgot what it was called. The American Abolitionist Union, I think is what it was called.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember. And he was a newspaper man, so he used his newspaper to promote emancipation immediately. No gradual, no nothing, just right now. Right, when you look at pictures of him, you hear about him, he reminds me of Bernie in a weird way. Just like no compromises. Right, of course, when you're not a politician, and it's not up to you to make that happen. It's easy to take those kinds of stances. I've said as much about Warren, but still, awesome. And when a bunch of allies said like, no, slavery only, we will not fight for women's suffrage. Right, this is a deal breaker. He's like, fuck you, leave. Like no compromise. Like you said, there's no line. Right?
Yeah.
Fight for all of it at once. And that's inspiring. And he did it openly and like he did it vociferously. So, and again, fighting for freedom and pouring his resources into it. Like, I think that in terms of like white allyship, you don't get fucking a better model than William Lloyd Garrison.
Wow. No, you don't.
Where I sort of butt heads with myself is.
Uh huh.
Like I so here's what I did in my list. I actually picked Harriet Tubman to represent all these people.
Okay.
Douglass and Garrison aren't on mine, but if I had to pick one or the other, who do I pick? Douglass's life is obviously much more treacherous, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I am super impressed by a white man in 1830 being absolutely not, and you know, living the life, not just talking the talk, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, I got Harriet Tubman representing that whole era. So I don't
okay.
know. Yeah.
Okay.
Because you know I got to get my boy John Lewis on there.
Yeah, he's my number three, John Lewis.
Yeah, John Lewis. Yeah, fighting John Lewis. Freedom. 18. 18 yeah. years old. High school kid fucking organizing, man. Yeah. He's so inspiring, that guy. Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about Lewis a lot on here. We love John Lewis.
Yeah, yeah. Do we ever come up with the opposite of a glass jaw is? A rock jaw?
Yeah.
Fucking Rock Jaw Lewis, bro. Rock, like, don't Lewis. Fuck with him. He's getting these rights. Back up.
Yep.
Brought Billy Clubs to a right. Board on his side. You got shit. Love John Lewis.
Yeah.
But I feel John a little Lewis. Bit about John Lewis the way I feel about, like, people, like Harriet and Douglass.
He covers a lot of people, yeah.
But Douglass is also, I think, at the end of the day, a spokesman and an amazing one. Like, yeah. MLK. Well, I think that John Lewis was in the nitty gritty, right? He was getting beat up by cops monthly, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's not arguing for freedom; he's liberating himself. So there's a theme here for me. Who else you got?
So those are my three honorary mentions. Like I'm thinking, like obvious, like Jackie Robinson. You know, like just I can only imagine the hell that man lived during the prime of his career. Like people like him,
Bill Russell, and that's Russell too.
Oh man. Yeah, Bill fucking Russell. Yeah, Bill Russell, man. Like it's funny. Like I appreciate Jerry West, but Bill Russell should be the logo.
Yeah,
of the NBA.
I agree.
And they didn't pick him because they had a white superstar, so they put Jerry. Yep. And Jerry was a great player, but Bill Russell, like, is the NBA.
And from what I know about Jerry, from what I've picked up from like, you know, podcasts and, you know, short bios and profiles and shit like that, is that he's also like, you know, a good reputation with the black community. So at least there's that. It's not like it's Kevin McHale.
Yeah.
But yeah, it should be fucking Bill Russell. Let me go through my also rans, and then I got two potential surprises.
Okay.
So my also rans are, I feel bad putting this person as an also ran, but Cesar Chavez.
Yeah.
Cesar Chavez. Cesar Chavez has the same problem as what's his name? MLK and Douglas, where he's kind of a spokesman.
Mm-hmm.
Like Dolores Huerta, his co-president, okay. I think he deserves as much, if not more, credit, especially because Cesar Chavez started up his career as being a little anti-immigrant. And then Dolores Huerta was like, no, you got to start digging globally, man. That's where we're from originally. And then he changed his mind about it. And then the move exploded. But if it wasn't for Huerta, like, not being willing to leave behind non-naturalized Mexicans, that doesn't get off the ground.
Yeah.
And also, Cesar Chavez is on my list, too, because Cesar Chavez was one of the first people I've ever heard of reach out to another ethnicity's problem and join their cause, because their fight is our fight, because he joined the Filipino grape strike, and that became the California grape strike.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know of anybody, and that's why, I really value that about Harriet Tubman, even though she's a woman too, but fighting for women's rights is fighting for white women's rights at that time. Mm-hmm. So there is a bit of a, like, their fight is my fight, and I really appreciate that. So Cesar Chavez is on mine. That's my last official nominee.
Okay.
Although it's like Cesar Chavez slash Dolores Huerta. They're a duo. You can't really separate them. All right, so my also-rans, John Stewart. John motherfucking Stewart! Oh, just because I just had to mention him. He's a good American to me. He's absolutely a good American. Like, fucking clapping back against the Bush administration for all those years, waking me up to fucking the way that my sort of, like, target-less, scattershot skeptical sarcasm could actually be targeted to do something good with, you know?
Okay.
And he's fighting like hell for the 9/11 folk. Like,
oh,
he's
yeah, he is.
Liberate, right? He's liberate. For them, it's freedom from disease and from their own, you know, destruction, right? But I think it's a form of liberation. So I think he's liberating them from their medical bills, which sounds like not a big deal, but it's a fucking big deal.
Yeah.
So John Stewart is my nominee for honorable mention. But so here's where I started. I looked up Bill Gates.
Okay.
Because he's known for philanthropy. I was like, well, I've always known that, but how much is it really? Turns out, like, a big deal, right?
Yeah.
Gives away 22% of his money to charity, and he's committed to getting that up to 50% at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's impressive. The person he committed with is Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett is currently at giving away 70%.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get up to 90-97 by the time he dies.
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. He's given away $46 billion just in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And he's a businessman, so ultimately he won't make my list because, like, you're just giving
away money. That's why I struggle with those guys, because, yes, they're trying to make it correct. Like, they're trying to make it right, but they also enrich themselves on the backs of the disenfranchised.
Of course, which is why he ultimately doesn't make my list. Yeah. But I think that is worth an honorable mention.
Oh, yeah. Especially here, like, that would eliminate everybody.
Yeah. So that's who I got. So here's the nominees then. Ida B. Wells, Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman number one, right?
Yeah, Harriet Tubman number one.
That one's almost untouchable. The rest is almost academic. We got Frederick Douglass, Ida B. Wells, Cesar Chavez, William Garrett Lloyd, John Lewis number two.
Yeah.
My inclination is to put Lloyd Garrison three.
Okay.
But what do you think?
Yeah, that's fine.
Or maybe Cesar Chavez.
Three?
Yeah, for three.
So who's two?
John Lewis.
John Lewis, okay. Let's go Chavez.
And then how about Garrison for the honorable mention?
Yeah.
I like this list.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Ida B. Wells, man. That hurts me to leave her and Douglas off. But, man, this list is pretty great. And I like the coverage of eras we get.
Yeah.
Because we really only had two centuries. I think you need representatives from both. And fucking Harriet Tubman, man.
Yeah.
Fucking Harriet Tubman. The rest of this list is just almost ridiculous when you put their names to hers. That's the greatest American, right? Like, I can't even, it's not even close. Like, even like Ida B. Wells and Frederick Douglass, John Lewis, I mean, you could swap out 2 and 3 for just about any other two motherfuckers, but none of them are going to come close to fucking Harriet Tubman. Yeah. This is like, she's like MJ pre LeBron. Like, there's just no, it's not even a, there's no, why even have this conversation?
Tell a kill from Adam Zillin and the Bonneville, I chill. Helpers call me Black and Decker, I don't screw them hoes, I drill. I've been cutting Cuba Gucci since before the record deal. Catch me daydreaming by damn thick medium or slim. Doctors call this thing vagina, in the hood we call it trim. White was called it snatch, Puerto Ricans call it chocha. Nathaniel likes his flight, I like mine, dark as cola. It's the first thing on my line when I'm on when I roll over. All men, young or old, in the end is what we have. Even my granddaddy's happy, he got prescribed Viagra.
Granddaddy, what's up, it's me. Hey, let me get about 3 of them blue diamonds. I promise I got you back tomorrow.
All day I dream about sex. All day I dream about sex. Mm-hmm. You sexy queen.
Don't have the kind of
time. Yeah, fair enough. All right. So, from the best Americans to the worst, then?
Oh, okay, we're going worst?
Yeah, I might as well fucking get this Caged Kids shit out of here.
All right. That's Nice segue. I like what you did there.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, it's Trump. Like, Trump's the only one I can think of off the top of my head.
Well, I mean, this is part of it.
Yeah.
So, you wanted to talk about this specifically. I have not really engaged with this topic at all because, as you know, a substantial number of these people are from my home country. Not my home. I'm American, but my mother's home country. And so it's been a little like personal for me, you know?
Yeah.
And I've also had undocumented in my family. I've had deportations in my family, you know. I'm Latino from Texas, man. We all have them. So those are my reasons for reticence about talking about this, because I'm afraid of getting worked up. As you know, I can get worked up.
No.
But why don't you get us started? Because you wanted to talk about this.
Well, did I?
Maybe you didn't. You just
Then we could talk about it.
let me rephrase. It's been on your mind.
Yeah, of course. It's on my mind every fucking day. Every single day. I don't know. There's not much to say anymore. I feel like it's all out there and people have picked a side. So you're either okay with this, you don't give a shit, or this is the worst thing you've ever seen. And I'm in this is one of the worst things I've ever seen camp. But the conversation I have the most about this with people is, what the fuck can we do to stop this? And so I had dinner with a friend last night, and he was like, as soon as we started talking about it, he immediately said, like, I wonder what it was like for people in Germany who didn't like what was going on. Like, we say, like, they were complicit, but could they really do anything? Because that's how I feel right now. I can't really do anything because I'm just one person. And I'm like, yeah, because it seems like in the course of history, there's only one thing that 100% changes things, and that's violence. Like, it's violence. And it doesn't feel like we're at the point of violence yet, where we are ready to start, like, people are ready to start a revolution, is what I'm saying. I'm saying this is the kind of thing, like, these are the kind of thoughts going through my head.
Well, I mean, I hear the violence thing. I'm not going to pretend I didn't have that thought in my head. I was like, let's go stomp some heads, man, you know? But obviously, no.
Yeah.
But
that emotion. Yeah, I'm not going to hurt anybody.
That emotion's there, though, yeah. You know? I get that for sure. As far as the Germany comparisons, this might be the first time where I'm like, fuck, man, I guess we have to bring up Nazis. Didn't think that was ever going to not be hyperbole.
Yeah.
But I'm still resisting it, but it's getting harder to. But something you said earlier about, you know, what can be done. You know, important thing to remember in regards to Germany is that we have a democracy, supposedly, right? Yeah. But we can vote, and you can get your voice can be put out there. So there's enough recorded opposition, right?
No.
That this isn't it isn't complicit if you are vocally against it, right? We have to, like what he said about, I wonder what it's like for the Germans. Well, they weren't telling anybody anything, so that's why we have to wonder.
No.
They also had fewer avenues for speaking out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Who knows? But you don't. And historically speaking, they won't need to be a who knows because we will have spoken.
Yeah.
Against this. Yeah. It won't make you complicit. Futile, perhaps, but not implicit. As far as what it would take for like a revolution, like not this, because let's be real, man. Latinos are historically who gives a shit about them population.
Mm-hmm.
We got kids in cages. If these were American kids in cages, American citizenship kids with cages, there already would be violence. You see people bombing abortion clinics for the possibility of a life. These are actual lives being lost. Yeah. No one cares.
Nobody cares. And
nobody really cares. At least not to that extent where they're going to willing to risk their own health and life to end it. They just don't. Let's remember that even though this is the worst version, at least visually, of this we've ever seen, this is an escalation of what we've been doing since Clinton, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, the Clinton, there's a lot of hay about, like, oh, the Clinton law says we have to do this. No, the Clinton law says you can in extreme situations, but that's left ambiguous, right? So what does he do? These are all extreme. We're overcrowded. All of these are extreme. Yeah. Again, and those were for misdemeanors. The idea was that those were for people who had committed felonies or suspected of it. But it's not stipulated, so he just expanded it to include misdemeanors.
Mm-hmm.
And then called coming to the country a misdemeanor, even though most of these are legal because they're checking in at the port.
They're checking at port of entry, yeah.
And they're using a constitutional right for an audience, mm-hmm. right? But they're finding ways to call that a misdemeanor so they can activate this law. But the law was already there. Yeah. They are misusing it, and they're misrepresenting it how it should be used, to be sure. Mm-hmm. But nobody really thought about it. But people, that law is so careless because it's fucking Latinos. Who cares? Well, you know who we mean, and then they moved on.
Yeah.
Obama exacerbated things because he's the one that allowed minors to present themselves in front of court on their own because their people were unaccompanied. Yeah. But instead of putting them in foster care or just absorbing them, just make, all right, these are children, we'll just adopt them because they're children, put them in some kind of separate, track where if you're a minor who applies for asylum, you're automatically accepted or whatever because they're fucking children.
They're kids.
They wanted to be able to put them on trial to send them back if they could. So they passed a law that says, now it was intended for like people who showed up alone and were of some regular age, judges call, 16.
Yeah.
But there's not specifying that because who cares? We don't got a fucking pack like this. This is fine. So what does Trump do? He comes along and he's just like, all right, well, it doesn't say that the child had to be unaccompanied. So split them up, let the kid fucking face himself. Now you got 10-year-olds talking to judges.
Yeah.
Like, so the revolution, like, I am glad people are mad about this because maybe it'll get it to stop. Maybe people start thinking about us. But none of these motherfuckers cared about us for years, so I don't really believe any of them, if I'm being honest. But it's bad visually. They have to see what this results, what this culture around treating Latinos from other countries leads to. This was always where we were going.
Yeah.
Always where we were going. And now we're here, and now people are balking at the ugliness. Well, I mean, that is complicity because you weren't even paying attention because you didn't care enough. Yeah. Like, I've been bitching about this for like a decade and fucking nobody cared. Yeah. Like, so, all that. I'm trying not to be ugly. There's a part of me wants to say, look, all your national teeth, fucking choke on it. But no, because it's not about me. It's about helping these people. So even if this is temporary, even if this is just a way to sort of project shame onto other people and not pretend that you have been a part of this and every politician you've ever elected has been a part of this since Clinton.
No.
Fine. Fine. If it actually results in these people being free. And what do you do? You vote for politicians who are very like actively against this. Vote for politicians who are for abolishing ICE, which right now is just Bernie Sanders, right? One of the reasons he has my vote. Right.
Yeah.
And the other thing I'll say about this, just to end on a more positive note, future GOAT entry, perhaps. God bless AOC, because she's fucking not letting this go.
Future president AOC.
Fuck yeah, I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Fucking AOC, she's not letting it go.
Yeah.
Obviously, these kids look like her.
Yeah. She's for the most part, she's got to be batting like 900. You know what I mean? Like, she's pretty much always on the right calls. Like, I can't even think of one she's gotten wrong, but there's probably one I don't know about. So, but like, she's pretty, like, she's,
No, she's at that point where, like, remember James Harden was, like, 70 games into the season and he could not score again and still win the scoring title?
Yeah.
That's where he's at right now. It's just in terms of fucking production and efficiency.
Yeah.
And she's always in fucking people's mouths, too, so she's, like, drawing.
Oh, man. She's the best contact at the clapback, man. Like, fucking, you are not coming at her on Twitter.
They do. Because she's like, I'm telling you, she's excellent at drawing contact, and she gets the N1.
Yes, oh my God. Don't fuck with her.
What are you doing,
You're
man?
Not doing yourself any favors.
No, just open the path to the rim and hope she misses her layup. Like,
she grew up with the internet, man. There's no way you're going to do it better than her, 50-year-old senator.
Yep.
Oh.
So so to that point, the layup line of dunk highlights AOC's gotten out of this has been gratifying. But yeah, so what is there to say, man? Like, I mean, until this is resolved, fuck America. Like,
yeah, agreed.
Fuck this place.
Agreed.
Yeah.
When I drill, I don't steal, even if she's on the pill. Keep my weapon covered, concealed, and in a shield. Cause I don't need that AIDS, a D and an A missing out my Adidas. Plus, we don't need no DNA mixing between us. We just need to keep this thing friendly and hush hush on the down low, like R. Kelly and youngsters. But over 18 only, cause baby, I'm no perv. From the tour bus to the lobby, elevator to the room, we can jump each other's bones, but there's no jumping rooms. Buffoon, you are too consumed in the womb. It is too early.
What else we got?
Alright, so on my list, I got the Google Gaming.
Okay.
And my wife in the NBA.
Okay. Let's do Google Gaming. So I think this will be quick, but it'll be interesting.
Right. So I read about this today.
Mm-hmm.
Google's doing something called the Stadia.
Yes.
Okay. Which is a gaming system that requires no console.
That's right. It's a streaming platform.
So what do you download an app? How is that going to work? Is there any idea?
Exactly. Yeah, you download an app and then you stream your gameplay. So it's all streaming.
Download an app to what?
Your computer or your phone or your tablet.
That sounds like you need a pretty powerful machine to make it work.
And you're going to need... So there's tiers to it. So it's like PC gaming. So if you don't have a good computer, you can scale everything down. You know what I mean?
No, I don't know what you mean, Joe.
I know you don't. I'm sorry. On a computer game, if your game card sucks, you can scale it down. Like, you don't play the prettiest version of the game, but you play a version of the game your computer can handle.
Is this like going from 1080p to 720, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, yes, not really, but yes.
Okay. Right, sure. Very cool.
But yeah, so it'll be something like that. Like, you can do it with, I think you can do it with Steam now. Like, this is technology we already have access to.
Right.
Yeah. This is just, no one's ever done it on this scale. So
I was reading about it, and the thing that people are worried about is the data capability you need to really be able to do that well. And Google's like, don't worry, we'll get the ISPs to raise it.
They will.
Which immediately I was like, that doesn't sound like a game plan. Then I'm like, you're Google. You'll figure out a way to make them do it.
They'll get it. Yeah, they'll get it.
All right.
No, they'll get it.
So here, I guess I don't, I have trouble imagining it, probably because I'm an old head, and I'm like, how do you play a video game without a console? Yeah. But one thing I read today that was weird is that, the weird rabbit hole this story took me, is that they have been, they've been accidentally helped by the Chinese tariffs,
mm-hmm.
because they don't have to build any consoles. And Sony, Xbox, and what's the other one? Nintendo all use Chinese parts, mm-hmm. right? So, and sometimes, I didn't know this either, sometimes on the console themselves, they take a loss. Because what they want you is to buy the service and software. The games, the software, right? Yeah. That's where they make their money. So Google cut out the one, you know, high-risk, low-reward element. And that the tariffs might actually make Stadia win for nothing that Stadia did.
Yeah. Well, Stadia is going to win, but it's not going to be... it might be because of that, but it's really going to be because kids are going to use it to not pay attention in class. No, like, I legit read an article. It was a teacher. He's like, I will never be able to get a child's attention ever again. Because now they... Huh?
Banned phones.
Well, they're still good at getting, like, some like a computer class. Like, you know, like, they're just going to download... They're going to have this app on every computer, and they're just going to be playing Fortnite or whatever the Fortnite is when this comes out. But that's it. Like, well, they're going to get nothing accomplished. It's going to be a tough sell overall, though, for people who just want power and the highest quality. We'll see. I really think their only market's going to be kids trying not to do shit in school, play games behind their back. It's really going to be the go-to, especially for poor kids.
Hmm.
No.
Well, anyway. So, all right. So, let's close with the NBA.
Yeah.
All right. So, fun story. So, me and my wife last week celebrated our one-year anniversary. Woo, shout-outs. And free agency was happening starting throughout the whole thing, right? So we were just talking about basketball a lot. And at some point, she has gotten into her own. She shares my Athletic account. She's gotten really into reading about the Rockets. She's got real into it. Like, yeah. She knows a lot. She has been particularly fascinated with free agency itself, the idea of contracts and MLEs and stuff like that, like these little puzzles. She's like, this is weirdly super interesting, the way you have to use, like, build a team using these set amount of pieces and how much you invest in each piece. And I was just like, dang, man, I really got my wife into basketball. I was very pleased. And then on her own, you know what she did? One of the things she keeps running into is like, so what is it with the 90s that everyone's like, oh, in the 90s, fucking Bliss Fly would score 100 points, blah, 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 blah. She's like, and I was like, well, and I said really quickly, I was like, back then you could put your hand on people's hips, which just really allowed you to push them around in a way you can't now, right? Now basketball's fluid. Back in the day, it was more jagged. And it just depends on which style you like better. People who grew up with the 90s missed the sort of pushing and shoving and, like, dropping shoulders and hip checking and all that sort of play. And people who like today, they like the freedom of movement. They like the fluidity of it, right? Like, the Warriors are the ultimate example of what basketball should look like based on what the rules are encouraging. Well, back in the 90s, the ultimate team might have been something like the Pistons or the Rockets, right? Physical teams that limit you to 80 points and they score 90, right?
Yeah.
And I said, I actually like the current era better, although I wish there were fewer free throws, but I think that the rules are good. Actually, you know what I looked up? The NBA's highest team field goal percentage is like 49. It's like 54 if you count free throws, so effective field goal percentage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the lowest is just like 40 and 48, which means that on any given play, the offense and the defense have generally 50-50 chance of winning that possession, is what the math works out, right? That's something I don't understand about percentages. And with a slight edge because of free throws to the offense, which I think is right. I actually think they got it right. I would love to see fewer free throws. But I think that the math bears out that this is fair competitive play. I don't think you should privilege the defense. I think you should privilege the offense, personally.
Mm-hmm.
The 90 style privilege the defense. And I was telling her all this stuff. So what she does is she on her phone, she's like, hey, did you know they have a box set of the 1993 finals where they have every single game?
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, of course I know that exists. That's the Rockets championship. She's like, well, I bought it because I want to watch some 90s games. I figured you'd watch these. I was like, fuck yeah. So we're going to watch the whole seven-game series. And she knows who everybody is. I mean, she knows that we won.
Yeah.
But she doesn't know any of the players. She knows Hakeem because I talk about him. She's like, I also want to know who Hakeem is. And I was just like, how did this happen? Like, I have this, like, perfect Rockets wife. It just sort of happened. She started watching with me just to, like, hang out on the couch. And she did. Fourth quarters would happen. And she'd look up and, like, this seems exciting. And then she watched enough where she sort of, like, learned how to follow the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got into, like, the stats and stuff, and she met Trevor Ariza, who was her favorite character, and she fell hard. At first, it started off as something she was doing for me, but now she's, like, on her own, like, obsessed with
her.
So
nice.
Yeah. So really? Happy anniversary, baby.
Yeah.
I love you. And your Rockets love. Now I just got to get her into animated things.
Man, you got one, man. You count your blessings.
I ain't greedy. I ain't greedy.
Oh, man.
I'm only playing with house money now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. NBA should be fun.
I say that he's in Spain right now and fucking sending me crazy texts like,
oh,
about Paul George. What does this mean?
Yeah. was a crazy morning. I slept through all of that. Like the one Friday night I go to sleep early, fucking the NBA fucking explodes.
I love Kawhi for that. Love Kawhi for that. It's the best case scenario. I'd stop caring. I was like, this is gonna happen July 6th, which it did. Right? Because this is when technically free agency opens. Kawhi's the only one to follow the fucking rules. And we're all mad at him for doing it. It's funny. So that, yeah.
What, like, this is the best move ever. What he's done, what he was able to manufacture. Like,
amazing.
Nobody thought Paul George was changing teams this offseason. Like, that wasn't even an idea that was in the thing. He got him to leave his team he just signed with. He got him to betray Russ. And Russ has been betrayed twice now.
Here's what's scary. Now Paul George is going to have a post-Russ bump.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's already, like, he had the best year of his career last year. They're clearly the favorites. I agree.
I would put them one because of talent, obviously.
They have the best offense potentially and the best defense potentially in the NBA.
I don't know about best offense.
I think they can because, like, they look at their two scorers off the bench.
Lou Will and
Montrez. Unless they start Trez this year, but I doubt it. But they can.
Well, they did trade their starting four. They probably will start him.
I don't think he's a four. They play him at the five when he's coming off the bench.
Because he's a bench five. Well, we'll see. I don't buy that scoring. I don't see that. I definitely the best defense. They're going to be great. They're going to be a good offensive team. Paul George and Kawhi, neither are the type that make other players better. So it's banking entirely on how good they all already are.
But that's why you run the Rockets offense. You just ISO all the time with those two guys. And hope Patrick Beverley still hits 40% off three because they'll find him. That's legit. You can just run a two harden offense with them, and like, or technically a three harden offense because you have Lou Will to come in. You can just murder them with this isolation ball.
I guess I don't see that being the top offense in the league, but I mean they're going to be awesome. So I just don't see that. But it doesn't. It might not matter. So they're the favorites. I would put Rockets second because I think they're better than the other teams, honestly. And two, I think continuity matters, and I think that's going to be our big advantage.
Yeah, I put us second or third in the West. I don't think the Lakers are that good. It's really dependent on how like Utah clicks. But I think Denver takes a step down. I think Portland really shouldn't have gotten where they got, but they took a step down. I don't like that Whiteside trade for them.
No, that's a stopgap. They're officially in, like, just make the playoffs and play upset. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the Rockets can beat the Clippers now, but they could definitely be the number two or three seed in the West.
So, can they beat the Clippers? Matt, lots to be seen. It's because they have the most talent, we presume that we have to beat them instead of they having to beat us. There's a little mindset thing there, but I'm not going to dispute that. I'm going to put them one and two right now. Three, Utah.
They got the we'll see how much they click. Finals MVP. Like, that matters.
Yeah. No, okay. Dude, I'm with you. I'm with you. They're number one. You know how much I feel about Kawhi. I'm just glad he's not in my division. Two, I'm going to go Rockets now. Utah, three, although I could see those switching.
Yeah.
If the based exclusively on chemistry, I still think we're more talented. But if the Rockets had a lot of trade rumors, and you never know what that is to a locker room. So if that pushes down to three or four, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. And if Mike Conley really is the perfect culture fit for them that everybody's saying, and it works perfectly well, they could get up to two.
Mm-hmm.
I see them as three because I'm kind of hedging my bet. I'm not sold on them until I see them in action. I think Boban at the four is going to make for kind of a weak backside to their defense in a way that's exploitable. I've never bought into Rudy Gobert, possibly because we always pwn him. So it's hard. I have a negative view of him. Right. I don't watch Utah games unless they're playing us usually. So I don't know what he's like against their team. We have him figured out. So I'm just not afraid of him.
Yeah.
Four, I'll go Lakers because they got to fill out that roster with like nothing.
Yeah, that's.
I think they're gonna fuck up and sign Boogie, so I'll keep them at four. But I also put them in the same, like in the same, 2-3-4. Let's see how they gel. If you got two of the best seven players on the NBA on your team, if you make it the second, like, well, we can't be surprised. But
hold up, I don't think signing Boogie is a mistake for them.
Don't think so.
No, because you just ride him all the fucking regular season and then fucking don't play him in the playoffs. You're going to need somebody to take a lot of minutes off of Anthony Davis so he's fresh in the playoffs.
Do you start him or bring him off the bench?
Start him.
They're starting. Wait, no, they're starting McGee. They already announced it.
I'd rather start Boogie.
I think I would agree with you, but off the bench first, see how he does. But you know, you're not wrong.
Yeah,
you're not wrong. He knows Anthony Davis, right? They play together.
Mm-hmm. They play together. They play. They like each other. And he's. I think Boogie's like turned around. He's like a good locker room guy now.
We're gonna point out, we got to point out though. Yeah, he just grew up. He's just
Or he went to a nice locker room. That's he was in fucking chaos.
That's Sacktown.
Yeah.
But you also got to remember, though, that when he got hurt, the Pelicans got better.
No, they didn't. I don't think so. They won more games. They went on that little streak. I don't think they played better. I was there the night he tore his ACL or his Achilles. They were playing the Rockets off the goddamn floor. They looked unstoppable. Boogie was hitting threes. He was hitting every open guy. He was getting the lane open for AD. Like, if Boogie would have stayed healthy, that team would have been fucking... They could have probably made a conference finals.
Well, I won't dispute that just because what the point is. What would be the point? It never happened. But, yeah. I can see it. I remember that game, and they were fucking whooping our ass.
They were just...
I remember that game.
Counting us, man.
Yeah, they were just so much bigger than us. So, and managing to not get run off the floor. Like, it was impressive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, so, and in the bottom half, whatever, I think that, obviously, OKC's out. We'll see how Clay comes back. The Spurs are probably out, but it's hard to pick against Greg Popovich, so, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't count out the Spurs or the Warriors.
I wouldn't count either about as much work in the playoffs, just not being contenders, I guess is what I'm saying. What about the East?
So, wow. I think it's a two-team race now. It's Bucks Milwaukee Philly, right? And, Bucks-Philly.
I wonder, because I think Philly got worse, but I think they're better suited to beat Milwaukee, so maybe that's better.
Yeah, I agree.
Right, because
they're better for Giannis. They built to take out Giannis.
Right, because Redick and Butler for Horford is a big downgrade.
Mm-hmm.
But having Horford to throw at Giannis...
And also take away a lot of minutes from Embiid, so he's healthier. And then you can play both those guys.
Right.
Yeah.
They gave that big extension to Ben Simmons, or as I like to call him, Simmons Carter Williams.
Man, he's only been in the league 2 years. You were way too hard on that guy.
Here's the thing. You're right, but it's too late.
He's been in the league 2 years.
That's too late.
How old is Ben Simmons? Is he 25 years old yet? You were way too hard on this guy.
I agree.
He's 22 years old.
I'm aware of that. But it's too late, man. I've taken a stance that I obviously had no business taking.
Yeah.
And I just think he might be a bust. There's nothing about him that makes me think, like, that could be that much better than this. I kind of think about him the same way as Jason Tatum. Like, I think you're already who you are. It's just being the best version of this. Like, I don't see any surprises coming.
Man, I don't agree for only one reason. I don't think Ben Simmons is in his body yet. Like... Once he hits 25, then we'll know. Because then he'll be like, he'll be a man, you know?
Been that for a while.
Yeah.
Learning how to use his body. All right, that's a good point. And especially someone like him who's played so physically, that matters less.
He probably he's not a point guard. I think that's the biggest problem. Like, he probably needs to be a wing or even a power forward.
See, he can't be a power forward. You can't be either one of those things if you don't shoot.
No. That is the craziest thing. You can't be a power forward now if you can't shoot.
I know. I know. He should have been in the 90s.
Jesus Christ.
Well, there's always one. We need a fifth person position. In the 90s, it was power forward. Like, you don't have to have any skill. Just hang out around the rim and, you know, grab the ball, right? Hit dudes. Now it's center. Now center is a throwaway position. Like, whatever. Just, you don't need a whole bunch. Just dunk it occasionally and get the rebound.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah,
you can get that easy off the street.
Right, and back in the – but think about it. Like, the centers in the 90s had to shoot. Now, it wasn't, like, long jumpers, but they had to have a fadeaway or turnaround. They had to have some short shot. Hakeem, obviously, was – one of the reasons he was so dominant is he was like, extend that short shot out to 18 feet on a turnaround, which is still, like, the hardest shot I've ever seen anybody make consistently. Maybe the Dirk turnaround. Like, those are the two.
He's a soccer player. Soccer player. Yep. Converted soccer player.
Exactly. But they had to know how to shoot, but they didn't have to know how to shoot threes. That's the thing about power fours now. You have to shoot specifically threes, or why are you here? Just get a second wing. Yeah.
Oh, it's fucking crazy league.
Crazy league. I love this fucking court.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the craziest offseason ever. Like.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
yeah.
Not even close. Like, this
40% of the league was up for contract renewal.
Yeah.
40%.
Craziest, and so many guys change teams, like just so many. It's just like
it can't possibly get crazier, right?
No, it can.
No way.
It can. I think it can because we have this again in 2 years.
No, do we?
Yeah, 2022. Not next year, but the year after.
It can't be this crazy again. It was impossible.
Yeah.
Feels impossible because you have
some of these guys only got 2 years deals too. Like
you had the combination of both marquee free agents and wicked surprise trades. Like I just can't imagine. I can imagine one of those two things being as crazy, but at the same time, I just can't. I can't even imagine it. I mean, could it happen? Of course it could happen. I just can't imagine it.
I think they're married now because you see like some of these trades. Were the reactions of, like, I don't want to play here. Just the player saying, like, I don't want to play here. Paul George signed his contract last fucking summer. Like, probably a year ago today. Like, he signed his contract. I'm staying in OKC. He gone. Because he wanted to go to the Clippers and play with Kawhi. And they facilitated that because fucking that's where we're at now.
I wonder to what extent. I wonder, I mean, he couldn't. He's here's the thing. Now I got Paul George conspiracy theories in my mind. Do you think he signed with Oklahoma City to lock in his max knowing he was going to force a trade at some point and he could take that money with him?
I hope so.
Because then we're going to start seeing the
that's big what D'Angelo Russell's contract is. They're trading him as soon as they can.
Yeah, but that's the Warriors knowing they're going to from the jump. But right?
He's agreeing to it. Like, they're in on it. The Warriors are in on it.
That's what I'm saying. The Thunder were not.
That's the only difference. Yeah.
Yeah, so now you're going to have... But to make a trade viable, you have to fucking play your ass off. Right?
Yeah. He's an MVP candidate.
We're going to have a post-contract year boom, just like we have contract year booms. And in fact, if someone comes out of their first year, definitely first year... With sudden MVP numbers, that feels like a red flag. Are you trying to get traded? Why are you playing so good?
Yeah. And
it's a weird place to be. It's a weird emotion to feel.
Mm-hmm. But I do like it for OKC. I think they did the right thing because their team's not winning a title.
And they got a bunch of shit.
Oh, man. They got all the draft picks. They got
five draft picks and Landry.
Yeah. And the fucking Clippers rookie.
Landry, yeah.
Yeah, Landry, yeah.
Or is that his name?
No, it's fucking, he's got the double last name. What's his fucking name? Yeah, Gilchrist Alexander.
Gilchrist Alexander.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. They got him.
They got him. That's Russ real.
Russ is next.
Oh, yeah, Russ has to go. I think it'll be really funny if he gets traded to the Lakers. They just don't have any assets to trade, but that's the thing that makes the most sense.
They don't
have anything. But trading into the Lakers would be the funniest thing.
Who's?
That's it, yeah.
I want that so much.
Yeah, right? That'd be the coolest thing for the league.
Whoa. I was actually thinking sending him down to Miami so he could play with Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Just because, why not? Put them two stars, get some more parity. Now you gotta
love each other. They would fucking love each other.
They probably would, huh?
No, they legit would love each other.
I think so, yeah. So send them down to Miami, and now maybe we got a third team to really consider.
Maybe.
Butler and Russ, you can't dismiss that.
Or he just gets traded to the Knicks.
That's probably what's happening. Because that feels dumb enough for the
Knicks fans will talk themselves into loving Russ.
Yeah,
he's easy to love. Like when he's on your team,
he's easy to love. He's easy to love until the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And but they're not. They're used to losing four quarters, man. They're good.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. So I want to go to Miami, but I think going to LA would be fucking phenomenal. Yeah. I want him to go to Miami, though. I think.
Yeah.
Get sense of talent east.
I want him to stay in OKC. They need something to cheer for. They love Russ. Maybe he gets traded to Minnesota.
For Wiggins?
Yeah.
And send
money
Wiggins?
Works. Yeah.
Send Wiggins to
the Thunder.
Oklahoma City?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
And then, like, if Wiggins is ever going to be anything, it would happen there.
Yeah, that's true. He's the man now.
And then Russ gets Towns.
He won't be distracted by that Minneapolis nightlife.
No.
Relatively speaking, from Oklahoma City to Minneapolis, that probably is a significant drop.
Yeah.
That'd be a question. What NBA city do you presume has the worst nightlife? Oklahoma City or Salt Lake City?
Salt Lake City. Like, instantly. Like, Salt Lake City.
All right, probably Salt Lake
City. Yeah, Salt Lake City.
It's Salt Lake City.
Or San Antonio.
Salt Lake City, you have access to camping.
Yeah, that's not nightlife.
I shit to do. Hey, man, as close as I got.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City at night, you go home, I guess. Like, you know.
They got casinos at least.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Pretty good point.
Yeah.
All right, whatever. Who cares?
Yeah. No, it's Salt Lake City. It's Salt Lake City or San Antonio.
San Antonio has access to Austin.
It does. It does. That saves it. But that city. That city goes to sleep at 8:30.
I feel like there's probably a city we're not thinking about. Indianapolis, Sacramento.
Indy's
is a
fun. Indy's fun. Indianapolis is fun.
It's a capital. They usually are.
Yeah. Orlando, maybe, but fucking it's Orlando. They got at least shit, like, they got Disney and shit, so.
Ugh, Orlando then. Fuck Disney.
Yeah, I don't know Sacramento. Yeah,
but it's a capital, so I assume it can't be terrible.
Yeah. It's California. It can't be terrible.
Right. Yeah. Worst case scenario, you can get stoned on the beach, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, you got anything else?
No. We hit the NBA? No, I'm good.
All right, homie. Well, we're wrapping up. All right, man. Talk to you soon.
Take care.